Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter Madhya Lila, chapter 20. The Lord instructs Sanatan Goswami. Text 385 to 397. And if it's okay, I'd like to read to the end of the chapter because there's no other commentaries, no more purports till the end of the chapter. Any objection? Is that okay? Okay, 385. What's on the board? Okay. 397 is on the board. So I'm just going to read these without the Bengali. 385. Descriptions of Krishna's eternal pastimes are in all the revealed scriptures, but one cannot understand how they are continuing eternally. Let me give an example by which people may understand Lord Krishna's eternal pastimes. An example can be found in the zodiac. The sun moves across the zodiac day and night and crosses the oceans between the seven islands, one after the other. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, the rotation of the sun consists of 60 dandas, and it is divided into 3,600 palas. The sun rises in steps consisting of 60 palas. 60 palas equals one danda, and 8 dandas comprise one prahara. The day and night are divided into 8 praharas, 4 belonging to the day and 4 belonging to the night. After 8 praharas, the sun rises again. Just as there is an orbit of the sun, there is an orbit of Krishna's pastimes, which are manifest one after the other. During the lifetime of 14 Manus, this orbit expanded through all the universes and gradually it returns. Thus Krishna moves with his pastimes through all the universes one after another. Krishna remains within a universe for 125 years, and he enjoys his pastimes both in Vrindavan and Dwarka. The cycle of his pastimes turns like a wheel of fire. Thus Krishna exhibits his pastimes one after the other in every universe. Krishna's pastimes, appearance, childhood, boyhood, and youth are all manifested beginning with the killing of Putana and extending to the end of the Maushala Lila, the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. All of these pastimes are rotating in every universe. Since Krishna's pastimes are taking place continuously at every moment, some pastime is existing in one universe or another. Consequently, these pastimes are called eternal by the Vedas and the Puranas. The spiritual abode known as Goloka, which is a pasturing land for Sarabi cows, is as powerful and opulent as Krishna. By the will of Krishna, the original Goloka and Gokula dhams are manifested with him in all the universes. And then coming to 397. Ateva Goloka stana nitya vihara. Ata eva goloka stane nitya vihara. Brahmandagane krame pakatya tahara. Brahmandagane krame pakatya tahara. Ata eva goloka stane nitya vihara. Brahmandagane krame pakatya tahara. Ata eva goloka stane nitya vihara. Brahmandagane krame pakatya tahara. Matijis. Therefore, Golokastani, in the original Goloka Vrindavan planet, Nityavihara, eternal pastimes, Bhamandagani, within the material universes, Krame, gradually, Pakatya, manifestation. Tahara, of them. Translation. The eternal pastimes of Krishna are continuously taking place in the original Goloka Vrindavan planet. These same pastimes are gradually manifested within the material world in each and every Brahmanda. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elucidates this complicated explanation of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are always present in the material world in one of the many universes. These pastimes appear in the universes one after the other, just as the sun moves across the sky and measures the time. Krishna's appearance may be manifested in this universe at one moment, and immediately after his birth, this pastime is manifest in the next universe. After his killing of Putana, is manifested in this universe, it is next manifested in another universe. Thus all the pastimes of Krishna are eternally existing both in the original Goloka Vrindavan planet and in the material universes. The 125 years calculated in our solar system to be Krishna's lifetime equals one moment for Krishna. One moment of these pastimes are manifested in one universe. One moment, these pastimes are manifested in one universe, and the next moment they are manifested in the next universe. There are unlimited universes, and Krishna's pastimes are manifested one moment after the other in all of them. This rotation is explained through the example of the sun's moving across the sky. Krishna appears and disappears in the innumerable universes, just as the sun appears and disappears during the day. Although the sun appears to rise and set, it is continuously shining somewhere on the earth. Similarly, although Krishna's pastimes seem to appear and disappear, they are continuously existing in one Brahmanda, universe, or another. Thus all of Krishna's leelas are present simultaneously throughout the innumerable universes. By our limited senses, we cannot appreciate this. Therefore, Krishna's eternal pastimes are very difficult for us to understand. One should try to understand how they are taking place by understanding the analogy of the sun. Although the Lord is appearing constantly in the material universes, his pastimes are eternally present in the original Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, these pastimes are called Nitya Lila, eternally present pastimes. Because we cannot see what is going on in the other universes, it is a little difficult for us to understand how Krishna is eternally manifesting his pastimes. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and this time calculation is also taking place in the other universes. Krishna's pastimes are manifested before 14 Manus expire. Although it is a little difficult to understand the eternal pastimes of Krishna in this way, we must accept the verdict of the Vedic literatures. There are two types of devotees, the sadhaka, who is preparing for perfection, and the siddha, who is already perfect. As far as those who are already perfect are concerned, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Tyaktva deham punarjanma naitimam eti sarjuna. After giving up this material body, such a devotee comes to me. After leaving the material body, the perfect devotee takes birth from the womb of a gopi on a planet where Krishna's pastimes are going on. This may be in this universe or another universe. This statement is found in the Ujjvala Nilamani, which is commented upon by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When a devotee becomes perfect, he is transferred to the universe where Krishna's pastimes are taking place. Krishna's eternal associates go wherever Krishna manifests his pastimes. As stated before, first the mother and father of Krishna appear, then the other associates. Quitting his material body, the perfect devotee also goes to associate with Krishna and his other associates. And if you'll allow me, then I'll just finish the verses in this chapter. There's about 10 more, and none of them have a commentary. Krishna is complete in the spiritual sky Vaikuntha. He is more complete in Mathura and Dwarka, and he is most complete in Vrindavan, Raja, due to his manifesting all of his opulences. This is stated in the dramatic literature as perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Thus, Lord Krishna manifests himself in three ways: perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not manifest all of his transcendental qualities, he is called complete. When all the qualities are manifested, but not fully, he is called more complete. When he manifests all of his qualities in fullness, he is called most complete. This is the version of all learned scholars in the devotional science. The most complete qualities of Krishna are manifested within Vrindavan, and his complete and more complete qualities are manifested in Dwarka and Mathura. Lord Krishna is the most complete Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Elsewhere, all of his expansions are either complete or more complete. Thus, I have described Krishna's manifestations of transcendental forms. The subject matter is so large that even Ananta, Lord Ananta, cannot describe it fully. In this way, Krishna's transcendental forms are expanded unlimitedly. No one can count them. Whatever I have explained is simply a little glimpse. It is like showing the moon through the branches of a tree. Whoever hears or recites these descriptions of the expansions of Krishna's body is certainly a very fortunate man. Although this is very difficult to understand, one can nonetheless acquire some knowledge about the different features of Krishna's body. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate the Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 20th chapter, describing how Sanatan Goswami met the Lord at Varanasi and received knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Om Ganata Mananda Saganajana Salakayan Chukchum Vitamina Tasmai Shigarave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamene Bhutale Swayam Gadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Hare Krishna. Somehow, by the mercy of Shishu Radha Gopinath, although I came originally to stay for 4 days, it's all been almost 3 weeks. And I'll be leaving on Tuesday. So anyway, I want to thank you for your association, for everybody. I had a very nice time. I want to make one comment aside from the Chaitanya Charitamrita today. One thing that I noticed, which... I have to say something about. I see at times devotees, they kick the floor cushions across the floor. And this is very disturbing to my heart when I see that. We shouldn't use our feet for anything besides walking on, especially for any paraphernalia in Krishna's temple. So please, please don't do that. Okay? Don't kick anything. You know, when Bhrigu Muni, when he was going to test to see who is the Supreme Lord between Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, he kicked Vishnu in the chest. And of course, this is considered the most grievous offense. You know, what to speak of hitting somebody, to use your feet to hit somebody is very offensive. So kicking the paraphernalia of Krishna's temple is not a very nice idea. So please do not do that. Thank you. So, these verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is explaining to us somewhat the nature of God, the science of God. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered the postgraduate study of spiritual science. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have an introduction to Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, which is expanded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we get the full and complete understanding. So these slokas are explaining how Krishna is manifest in this material world. As explained in some of these slokas, this is sometimes difficult for people to understand, especially if we have a bodily conception of life. In the bodily conception of life, of course, we may understand some idea of reincarnation, and we could understand, okay, a person is born into this universe, and then after passing away, then they go to another universe, and then to another one, like that. And so this is how we might normally think of Krishna's appearing in different universes, that first he appears in this universe, and when his pastimes are completely finished here, then he will display his pastimes in another universe. But it's explained that it's actually not quite like that, that actually Krishna's pastimes are going on, practically speaking, simultaneously in every universe. Practically in almost exact same sequence. That when after Krishna is born here, immediately following that, he's born in another universe, and following that in another universe, and so on like that. And so in this way, these pastimes are considered eternal. Eternal, if we take the understanding of that word, of course, means never ends, that it's going on all the time. So Krishna's being born here and then being born in another universe, being born in another universe, so in this way can be considered eternal. And not just his birth, but of course all of his other activities. So in this way, the Lord's pastimes are considered eternal in the Shastra. This gives us some perspective of the unlimited potency of the Lord. Of course, this is impossible to understand completely because Krishna is unlimited. And therefore, it's to try to wrap our tiny brains around the unlimited activities of the Lord we kind of like short-circuit and blow a fuse. We can't actually do that. So we try to get some comprehension of the unlimited nature of the Lord, and as best as or as much as can be explained is being described here. So Krishna, just imagine, let's just try to get a glimpse of what unlimited means. Of course, we understand that Krishna, he's manifest completely in his fullness in each and every atom of this universe. Okay, now take, for example, the atoms in this book. Maybe it's half a kilogram, something like that. Anybody know Avogadro's number? No? No scientists here? Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, 6.10^23. This is the number of atoms that are in 1 gram mole of any particular substance, right? So, for example, in gram mole, in 1 gram, in 14 ounces of carbon, which is 1 gram mole, because the atomic weight of carbon is 14. So in 14 grams of carbon, there's 6 × 10^23 atoms. Did I get that correct? Okay. Been a long time since I studied that. 10^23, what kind of number is that? That's 1 followed by 23 zeros, right? And that's just in 1 gram mole. So this book, being about one half of a kilo, maybe there's 10 to the 3 times 10 to the 23rd atoms. Anyway, it's a huge number, right? So that's just in like 1 kilo or half a kilo. So what to speak of all the kilos of this world, or all, you know, of this earth. The number is very, very far beyond our comprehension. The material scientists, they estimate that the number of particles in the universe is something on the order of 10 to the 80th. So we can understand the power of zeros when we start adding them one after the other. Anyway, it's a huge, huge number. And this material world is considered to be just 1/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. So in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, there's so many other unlimited planets in the spiritual sky, each of which are considered to be infinite in size. So Krishna, he explains that with just a mere spark of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So we can get some glimpse, just some, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, makes the mind, you know, go blank, because we can't comprehend such numbers. But the idea is that Krishna, I mean, this actually gives us the idea of what unlimited means, that there is no limit. I mean, it's not just that there's some big number, there's no limit, it's unlimited. That Krishna, he manifests himself in so many countless ways. And so therefore, in his performing his activities, in his effort to recruit, bring the jivas from this material world back into a loving relationship with him, he comes and he displays his pastimes in every universe in this material world. And even though he appears simply once in the day of Brahma, which for us is practically an inconceivable length of time, what, 8,640,000,000 years? And just once in that day for 125 years, it seems like it's just a flash. But understand that these pastimes, Krishna's manifesting his pastimes in such number that they're going on continuously all the time. So this gives us some idea, some understanding of the potency of the Lord. Then when we go to these slokas afterwards, where it's explaining Krishna's manifests his pastimes in the various parts of Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan, that He's manifesting different pastimes here, which are considered perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And these have to do with the nature of Krishna's relationships in these different spheres of activity. Let's understand this from the perspective of relationships. That we all have the opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is simply according to our own desire. Whatever the relationship we desire to have with the Lord, he's willing to reciprocate with us. We can understand this from our own relationships in this world. We have various relationships, and we understand that we can only have a type of relationship with somebody that they're willing to reciprocate. If they won't reciprocate in the way that we want, then we can't have that type of relationship. A good example, or a very simple example, would be a boy courting a girl. He wants to have a loving relationship with her, but if she's not interested in him, if she will not reciprocate with him, then it's not possible to have such a relationship. Or let's say we may want to have a more close relationship. Sometimes it happens like this: parents with their children. That the children oftentimes they'll go away and they'll forget their parents. The parents don't hear anything, and of course the parents are always hankering to hear about their children, to have, you know, to be able to maintain that relationship with them. But if the children are not reciprocating, then it's impossible. So we want to, let's say, in terms of our relationship with Krishna, Krishna, he leaves it entirely up to us. That what, however we approach him, he's very willing to reciprocate with us. And so it's our determination. And Krishna, he displays these different relationships in different places. The relationships in Vaikuntha, of course, they're very formal. There, Krishna, he appears as Vishnu, and Vishnu is God. The God, of course, is all-powerful, and therefore understanding or being cognizant of that power of God, the devotees there are very formal in their relationship. they reciprocate or they relate to God in a mood of awe and reverence. Then to come closer to Krishna, and we see these relationships, they come closer to Krishna in various degrees. In Mathura, the relationship, let's see, how does Krishna manifest himself there? When Krishna came to Mathura, he came and he killed the king of Mathura. Kamsa, he came there, he killed the king, and he established Ugrasena again on the throne to run things. But Krishna's relationships in Mathura were quite formal. Sisi Madhugopinath ki. Krishna did not have intimate relations there, with the exception of Kubja. But of course that was not a, let's say we could say that was an unusual kind of relationship. Not close, not intimate, one-time kind of thing. When we go to Dwarka, then Krishna, he has his wives, he has his children, he has his servants. And so there, Krishna is beginning to have intimate relationships, of course. But again, even still, the relationship with his wives, they are following Dharma. They are having proper relationship. So there's still some formality in those relationships. But then when we come to Vrindavan, the relationships there are very informal. Nobody actually understands or sees or cares about the supremacy of Krishna. They see him as simply the darling of their eyes, as their loving son, as their boyfriend, or as their lover. And so all the majesty of Krishna's pastimes, they're left behind, the majesty of Krishna's position as God, this is left behind. And there, the relationships become very, very close and very personal. So this is considered most perfect. Most perfect, why? Because the mood, the rasa, the exchange of emotions with Krishna are fully manifest in the affairs of Vrindavan. Even we see these pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna has his daily eightfold pastimes, which is called Asta Kaliya Lila. And they repeat almost the same every day, of course with some variation. But the wonderful nature of those pastimes is that there's, in each of these kinds of exchanges, there it brings out, it draws out a particular mood, a particular emotion that allows the Lord and the devotees to feel these entire variety of emotions in their exchanges. He has certain exchanges with his parents, different exchanges, of course, with his boyfriends, and then different exchanges yet with his girlfriends. But these exchanges, and of course, he's explained in these verses, these pastimes are considered most perfect. But even in those most perfect pastimes, the pastimes with the gopis are considered superlative. That is, all of the emotional sentiments that one can experience and enjoy are experienced there in these relationships with the gopis. So it's up to us, actually, to understand what kind of relationship or to cultivate that type of relationship. Now, each of us, we have our inherent spiritual nature in which we have a desire to reciprocate with the Lord in a particular way. At the same time, our Gaudiya Acharyas, they teach us that we should cultivate a loving mood of in relationship with Krishna, in Madhurya, in this not Madhurya Ras, but in as a Manjari, as a maidservant of Radharani. When the devotees begin to practice Raghunuga Bhakti, then the bhajan is meditation on these pastimes of the Lord in cultivating this mood of Manjari Bhav. At one time we have the possibility, we have our mood, our own desire, our inherent desire, what our relationship with Krishna might be. On the other hand, our acharyas are encouraging us to cultivate this bhav of Manjari bhav. This Raghunuga Bhakti, of course, we begin to take up at the time when we've achieved the transcendental position. When we are still contaminated, when our senses are contaminated by material desires, Prabhupada warns us that we should not enter into these pastimes, but rather we should purify ourselves. So he says, first anatta nivritti, first cleansing the heart, cleansing all the imperfections, the contamination from the heart, the mind, and the senses. But then upon achieving this transcendental platform, then one begins their bhajan, begins to cultivate these pure loving exchanges with Krishna. Wanting to stop there, we can discuss. Sorry, I'm not understanding your question.
So you mentioned that Raghunuga Bhakti would be only when you're on transcendental platform.
Yes.
And then you also mentioned that's when you're done, with Anatta Nivritti. And then in 2 weeks, this is about 50% of Anatta, 75% or 80% of Anatta is cleared. Then sometimes the Rabba defines, then you're kind of done with Anatta Nivritti, and the next stages start to manifest.
You're saying 50%, 80%? What?
Sometimes he spoke about finishing Anatta Nivritti, when that is done.
You comment on that, Mataji?
Well, what time devotees ask Prabhupada? Prabhupada mentioned he asked because of the kids were expected. And the devotees said, well, what if they're dying? They're not going to appear. And Prabhupada gave some figures. He said, well, if you were sent to Prabhupada, so he wasn't talking about the process of deciding how to do it.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, the question that you mentioned, those are practice, I'm going to go back before you're on the transcendental level.
Yeah.
So is that maybe an unsteady transcendental level where you sometimes lose it?
Okay, when I spoke on Chaitanya's Charitamrita last time, we discussed this point of coming to the transcendental platform, if you may remember. And how one has to purify the mind and the senses. This transcendental platform called Brahma-Bhuta. Okay, at that stage, one is free from the influence of the modes of material nature. This is the beginning of a stage which is called Nishtha, or steadiness in devotional service. At that time, Srila Prabhupada explains that at that time then pure devotional service begins. Pure because not contaminated by the modes of material nature, and we have no interest in serving our own senses. Our only interest is to please the Lord. That's still perhaps may be considered an immature stage. And the sadhaka begins then at that stage to cultivate his relationship further. Prabhupada cautions us that we do not begin this bhajan, meaning meditating on the Asakalila Lila or Krishna's intimate pastimes prior to that. Why? Because if we do that, then we bring with us our consciousness of enjoying. Okay, this consciousness of being the enjoyer is what's keeping us bound in this material world. If we do not purify ourselves from that, then we will try to enjoy Krishna's pastimes, which will be an offense. Krishna's the enjoyer. And if we want to enter into those intimate pastimes, we have to come there as being enjoyed by Krishna, not being the enjoyer. So it's imperative, it's essential that one first be able to give up, one first must give up this consciousness of being the enjoyer. That means 100%, not 80% or 50%. Okay? Mataji? It's explained that the sadhaka, if he does not come to the point of practicing Raghunuga Bhakti and goes back to Godhead, he will not attain Goloka Vrindavan, he will actually attain Vaikuntha. Again, because we practice our sadhana in the mood of awe and reverence, that's what Vaikuntha is, mood of awe and reverence. But the sadhaka then who is cultivating, who achieves the transcendental platform, he begins to cultivate that relationship. Now, we have to cultivate a relationship. Okay, you can't just immediately have a relationship with somebody. We have our own experience of that. I mean, it's not logical or rational. We all know you can't just be close friends with somebody all of a sudden. You have to enter into a relationship by various exchanges over a period of time. And so this is the cultivation of the sadhaka, to enter into that relationship, and it takes place in a gradual way. So those relationships become more and more personal in time. It takes time for one perhaps to let go of that formality, that mood of awe and reverence, and gradually. So as we go from Mathura to Dwarka to Vrindavan, we see that the relationships have become more and more personal, more deeply personal, more close. So, is that answering your question? I'm not sure. Your question is, how do you let go of the awe and reverence? Is that the question? This depends on how Krishna will show himself to you. Krishna, he's revealing himself to us little by little. As we surrender unto him, he rewards us accordingly. As we approach him, he'll reciprocate with us. So it depends on how we're approaching the Lord. It depends on our mood. So just like, for example, when we do our devotional service, some activity, say we're sweeping the floor. We sweep the floor, we can sweep the floor like, you know, we've swept so many floors in our life, right? Many times we just sweep the floor in a mechanical way without thinking. This is not first-class devotional service. Better that we can sweep the floor thinking, let me do this nicely to please Krishna. Krishna, he's, you know, I want to do this to please Krishna. And so whatever, sweeping the floor, whatever activity that we're doing, we do it with that consciousness. This is more favorable devotional service. Why? Because we're conscious of Krishna. We're thinking of Krishna. We want to do that to please Krishna. So this is what it means, Krishna consciousness, to become Krishna conscious. So it's a cultivation. We have to cultivate that consciousness. So we, in all of our devotional service, whether we're dressing the deity, sweeping the floor, cooking, you know, going preaching, whatever it is, you know, maintaining the buildings, taking care of the cows, whatever, we have that consciousness, let me do this nicely to please Krishna. And then we can come and we can talk to Radha Gopinath, Gornitai, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Devi. We can talk to them about our day, our devotional service. Approach them in a personal way, cultivate a relationship with him. And then according to how we do that, we will see the Lord reciprocate with us in a particular way. Now, everyone may have the experience, or let's say will have the experience, at some point in their time where they will see Krishna's hand personally reciprocating with them. And there will be no doubt in their mind that this is Krishna directly relating with me, helping me, dealing with me. And when we have that experience, this is something wonderful. Because then we have no doubt. You know, it's like, you know, we're going on faith, but then when we have an experience like this, we know, yes, Krishna is there, he's real, and he's having a personal relationship with me. So it develops in this way. Does that answer your question? Okay.
And then go from Vaikuntha to Goloka?
Go from Vaikuntha to Goloka. I don't know about that. I don't know. I have no basis for giving you an answer to that. Sorry.
You mentioned
Yeah. There can be different personalities. Now, one point here, Prabhupada points out that a conditioned soul who achieves perfection, a sadhaka who becomes a siddha, that his next birth takes place in Krishna's lila somewhere in the material universes. And in that lila, then he will take up his role, his relationship with Krishna, whatever that might be, as Krishna's parents, his boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Those devotees, then after that life, then they can return back to Godhead. Okay. Now we hear that it's possible for the jiva to incarnate with a part of self. For example, we hear, and I'm sorry I can't cite specifically who this is, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's mention of some personalities who are the combination of other personalities. Two people, they come together. Does anybody remember that specific case? Advaita Acharya? So we can take a glimpse from this, and here we get into a little bit of philosophical speculation that a part of self can be manifest in the world as a person. So it appears that Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, that they would be in Goloka Vrindavan, but with a part of self may manifest in the world, in this material realm, in Krishna's lila. Now, how many parts of the self can that happen with? I don't know. Yeah. And when we're talking about infinite number of Krishna's pastimes going on, how many times can it be just the one Yashoda and Nanda in all those pastimes, or is it there other ones, other persons involved? I don't know. Sorry. In our what platform?
Vaidhi.
Yeah. Sure, because in this material world, our mentality is that we want to be God. Okay. Our contamination is we want to be the enjoyer of the things of this world. And in that mood, typically we see in what's called Kaitava Dharma, the cheating religions, we want to make God our supplier, that we want, we're the subject, and everything else is the object of our enjoyment, including God, that He should serve us. So, in order to rectify that consciousness, we have to take a subordinate position to the Lord. A person who's being the enjoyer, he puts himself in the topmost position, that everything else is subordinate to them for the purpose of their enjoyment. But we understanding that that is not our proper relationship with Krishna. We are to be enjoyed by Krishna. Therefore, we have to rectify that mentality. And the way to do that to begin with is to subordinate ourselves in terms of a formal relationship, that we approach God as God, as infinite, we take the position, a very humble position, not, let's say, with let's say, awe and reverence means there's many rules, okay? For example, in deity worship, there are many, many rules that we should follow and be careful to avoid making offenses. Those rules are there specifically to correct our mentality, this mentality being the enjoyer. If we don't follow those rules properly, if we're too casual with those rules, then we're making offenses. And we cannot, if we're making offenses, of course, this is an impediment in our developing relationship with the Lord. So the rules are very important to correct us, to correct this deviant mentality that we have. As we become purified by our sadhana, by our positive acts of devotion, then this changes. And we read that those sadhakas who have come to the transcendental platform, who are engaged in raghunuga bhakti, sometimes they are not so strict in their practice, in their practices. It may appear. But the junior devotees are cautioned to be very careful not to criticize them or judge them for that. Because why? Because their relationship with Krishna is evolving. So for the junior devotee, for the sadhaka who has not achieved that transcendental plane, they're not in a position to be able to judge those devotees. They simply should be concerned with their own position and try to be very careful to avoid offenses. Is that okay? I'm sorry. I don't know. Prabhupada doesn't write about these things, so, and I haven't read beyond that. So, Gokul Kumar. Yeah, that's one example. Whether that's a common situation, I don't know. Thank you very much, then. Okay, please, I want to ask you, be very careful to treat each other with kindness. Devotees of the Lord are very rare, very wonderful. We should be very careful to appreciate each other and to serve each other with love. Okay. Shilpa Bhad Ki. Yeah.